This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on politics and government for the Chicago Reader and who's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, David.
Today, we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on September 1st, 2011, which is titled, Wrigley Funding Scheme is Another Cub Loser in the print version, and in the online version, it's titled, Unlovable Losers. And this talks about a sort of trial balloon, perhaps, that was floated in the press, namely Crane's Chicago Business, about possible subsidy to the owners of Wrigley Field for renovation, rehab, improvement of Wrigley Field. And you describe why the owners of the Cubs don't need a subsidy and why the city can't afford it. But putting yourself in the administration's shoes, what do you think is their objective and or incentive for such a subsidy?
If they do give the subsidy, you're right. Your first point was very well good. It was a sort of like a trial balloon, I think, and they used Greg Hines of Crane's to release it.
So if they don't need it, why?
Why would they give that?
What's the point?
Wow. Think about that for a moment. You really hit the heart of things. Why does our city give public dollars to people who don't need it? I mean, it is a fundamental...
Is there anything in particular about the Cubs?
I mean, without knowing the relationships that exist between, let's say, the people who own the Cubs and Mayor Rahm or the people who own the Cubs and State Senator John Cullerton, whose district it's in, he's the president of the Senate. I don't know these things, Dave. I'm not privy to these inner things. On one hand, the Cubs, I believe, don't quote me on this, are the only major sports team in Chicago that's not feeding from the trough. The White Sox got the state to essentially build the stadium, and they're tax-free, property tax-free, because the state owns the stadium. The Chicago Bears got the city to use hotel-motel tax to build that cockamamie retransformation.
Spaceship.
Yeah, the spaceship, the Soldier Field.
Which is owned by the Park District.
Which is owned by the Park District.
Also tax-free.
Also tax-free, so they're feeding from the trough. And then over at the United Center, the Bulls and the Blackhawks have been the beneficiary of property tax breaks for years on their property. So they're effectively feeding from the trough.
So the Cubs are kind of discriminated against.
Yeah. Here. So, it's like, hey, what's with us? And so I guess you could make that argument as if, well, we're already screwing up with all these other deals. Let's screw up over here.
In your article, you obliquely mentioned Chicago Public Schools' intent to ask for the maximum allowable property tax increase in 2012, which was subsequently approved, saying that the need is caused in part by tax increment financing giveaways. And I just would like for our listeners to appreciate, the contradiction there. Here we have tax increment financing, a large portion of which comes from property taxes that would normally go to the schools. Robs, essentially, as you would say, the school's revenue, because so much of property taxes goes to public schools. So on the one hand, it's taking away property taxes, and now the property tax increase is giving that money back.
Well, it's one of the many inconsistencies, contradictions of this program. It is beyond bizarre the way essentially TIFs work for the public schools, because some schools are funded with TIF dollars. I know I've said this on the show before. The schools give the city a dime, and then the city gives the schools back a nickel, and everybody says, oh my God, what a great program. We're really benefiting, overlooking the fact that the schools have lost a nickel on the transaction, and they'd probably be better off, and the taxpayers would be better off if the schools just kept the money themselves and built their own.
Do you have the numbers at your fingertips? Like, what was the most recent take from the school's budget by tax increment?
Well, it's roughly half of the TIF take for a given year. So
it's a $250 million.
Well, about $250 million. It's 500
quarter billion. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
got to use the right consonant
right,
there.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's roughly $250 million a year, and so this has been going on for quite a while. So I've done the numbers from time to time, and no matter how you look at it, the schools are losing on the transaction. So then, what I love from the schools, their response is to drag some poor schlub out of the press office and try to get him to write up a press release in which every possible construction cost is attributed to the TIF, so they can somehow or other increase the amount of money they're supposedly getting from the TIF, completely contradicting the press release that they sent out before. So it makes no sense. The TIF program makes no sense for public education. And I just thought of something. Why Mayor Emanuel would want to spend dollars on Wrigley Field? It just occurred to me, Dave, that he's probably thinking that he can disguise whatever public handout the Cubs are getting in such a way that either most people would not realize it's a handout or would be so confused by his explanation, they would just give up and go along with it. And then all the hype over the gloriously renovated Wrigley Field and how beautiful it is, that the mainstream papers would happily provide him would make him look good. So I could see that as a potential reason why somebody who is so public relations savvy as Mayor Emanuel would give millions of dollars that we don't have to a company that doesn't need it.
You're saying that something to benefit the Cubs would reflect well on the mayor.
Yeah, if he twisted it right from a public relations standpoint.
Well, you talked a minute ago about doing the numbers. And in your article, you said that Chicago Public Schools' proposal to have teachers work 90 minutes more per day in exchange for a 2% salary increase means that, quote, teachers can look forward to making between $4 and $5 an hour for the extra hours, end quote. Can you explain the math there?
Yeah, because the amount of money they're getting is so little in exchange for the extra hours that they have to work, that for those extra hours, they'll be making approximately, depending on how much they have to begin with, between $4 and $5 an hour during those extra hours.
The increment, if you will.
Yeah, the increment. Overall, their hourly wage falls. That's another way of looking at it. So if they were making $40 an hour, I'm just throwing that number up, under the current contract or the hour, for the hours they work, by increasing their hours, they're now making, let's say, $35 an hour. So any way you look at it, it's a pay cut.
Got it. Well, we'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
This is Dave Gloetz. If you want to hear more of my interviews with Ben Jarofsky, please go to MrRadio.org or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.